During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now as we broadcast live here at Hen House, 11721 Row Ave, northeast corner of 119th and Row. But if you want to GPS it, 11721 Row Ave. Always great specials. Back at the Butcher Block, at your neighborhood Hen House. See these specials at henhouse.com. If you'd like, specials on the USDA Choice Certified Hereford Beef, 12-ounce boneless ribeye steaks, just $12 each. Pork baby back ribs sold in Cryovac, just $2.99 a pound. But if you love seafood, there's always a great selection of the seafood. Just head on back to the meat counter. You can check out all kinds of great specials, like maybe the IQF Wild Yellowfin Tuna Steaks, 9 ounces, $7 each. Curtis, you're a what'd you call yourself? He said, I'm a seafood freak.
I think it was the term I used, yes. Crazy for the seafood.
Seafood freak.
Freak.
They've got the wild sockeye salmon fillets, $12.99 a pound. Wild halibut fillets. They've got the cooked shrimp. They've got the white shrimp. You name it, it's back there. Plus all the wonderful USDA Choice Certified Hereford Beef. Get it right now at Hen House, at your neighborhood Hen House. Find the location nearest you at henhouse.com. And don't forget, if you want to finish your meal with a wonderful Tippins pie right now, they got the Tippins pie by the slice sale. Get a slice of key lime, cherry, French silk, or apple pie. It's just $3.49.
It's crazy. It's a ridiculous price.
Yes. Yes.
It's ridiculous. And is there any other pie than Tippins?
You can get a whole Tippins strawberry pie. It's just $18.99.
Wow.
Go to town, people. The Tippins pies, they're just waiting for you. You need to know that Gabe DeArmond is coming up here shortly. We'll talk some Mizzou. They have, finally, a new athletic director. Congratulations. Our need to know is brought to you by Family Leisure. They're at K10 and Ridgeview. Great sale going on right now at Family Leisure. Their vacation at home sale, whether it's game tables, poker tables, massage chairs, home theater seating, bars, bar stools, pools, hot tubs, spas, your patio furniture. It's all at Family Leisure. Online at familyleisure.com. In person at K10 and Ridgeview. And mention A10. Save even more. Can you do that, Curtis?
I can. That's pretty easy to do.
I can do it,
too. To save, yes.
I can do it. I like saving at Family Leisure.
Yes.
And I need to get out there. I got a couple of chairs. So, Dennis and the staff, I'm coming.
And you know what's better than saving? Saving even more.
Yes. I'm going to lead with a little golf. It turns out that Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy have been rewarded for their loyalty to the PGA Tour.
We sure appreciate your loyalty.
Gift cards to Hen House.
Yes. I like it.
Which is great. I love my gift cards to Hen House. They're always a wonderful treat. They make a great gift. If you'd like to give them to somebody, no, they're going to get cold, hard cash. The report is that Tiger Woods is going to receive up to $100 million, I guess, in equity.
Equity, yeah.
As part of the newly created for-profit PGA Tour Enterprises. McIlroy is going to be getting about half that amount. And of the top 36 players on the tour, they're going to get most of $750 million. 200 players in all are going to be rewarded with a stake worth $750 million. The top 36 players get it based on a formula that weighs career success and cultural popularity.
Mm.
At least it's easy to define how you'll get paid.
The last two words. Problematic. I mean, you could do a point system on career success. Cultural popularity?
Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are going to get about $30 million each. Notable retired players will collect a total of about $75 million. I'm not sure how they're going to figure out the formula, but it does sound like they're taking care of the big boys.
Yep, for sure.
So, by the way, I want to point this out. The loyalty bonuses are being paid out roughly a year after they announced the merger of the PGA and LIV Tours, which have yet to merge.
Yes.
And David Faraday told us 2 weeks ago around the Masters, he's not sure what happened. And he's the lead announcer on the LIV Tour.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of money changing hands. NFL draft is going to be right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB tomorrow night. We'll get things going with ESPN's coverage at 6 after Curtis and I have run to find food, sustenance for the evening. We'll be back, and we'll be bouncing back and forth between ESPN and local coverage with Mark Boerichter and Adam Dravetta. That'll start sometime between 6:30 and 7. I'd bet more on 7.
I would, too.
Because we're working 2 to 6, and then we're going all night. Heavy lean to the 7.
Yeah. ESPN does a wonderful job.
They do a great job.
With their coverage, and you'll be just fine with them.
Heavy lean to the 7.
And for a number of minutes, throughout the first round, you'll be listening to the fine folks at ESPN.
More love to our friends here at Hen House. I'll be headed over to grab some Modelo Oro and some Corona Premier for when we get done with the draft tomorrow night.
Yes.
Not during the draft. For when we get done with the draft tomorrow night.
Completely done. But not till every pick is in and every word has been uttered.
And every
Andy Reid
post-draft press conference at like midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just want to see how long two idiots will wait up to play their shenanigans.
Yes. And the Chiefs have told us Andy Reid, after the first pick is made, Brett Veach, when the round is done. What we don't know is how far apart those will actually be, because it might trade up.
Let's hope it's a quick back-to-back.
Yeah.
If you're listening at One Arrowhead Drive, yeah. Brett Veach, Andy Reid, have a heart.
Think about us.
Let's go.
Just think about us.
Like, don't act like you got to sit around there. Let's formulate our thoughts. Let's go. Like, they announce it, and then, okay, we want to talk about it.
And, of course, we'll hear from whoever the player is. We'll hear from him. There'll be a...
Really? That, too?
Well, they always put them on the speakerphone.
God.
And every single member of the media will say, welcome to Kansas City.
Somebody call my wife, tell her I'm not taking either kid to school on Friday.
Every member will say, welcome to Kansas City, and Adam Teicher will be... unmoved by the first answer. Okay.
To which my wife would respond to said person, like, when does he? Which is not true. I do a lot. I did today.
You do.
Thank you.
You do a lot.
Thank you.
But when they wait till 1 a.m. to do their pressers, you can bet that also a lot of people before they question will go, hey, Coach, thanks a bunch for doing this.
Oh, God. Could you stop? Would you, with the rest of the media... And there's some of my brethren that are on my side. It's kind of their job.
Yeah.
They're playing. They're being paid a lot of money while playing in publicly funded stadiums. You don't have to thank them for coming out and talking to you.
He's not doing us a solid.
He's not painting your garage. He's giving you 8.5 minutes of non-answers.
Yeah, if you drove... to their house and went to the door, and they came out and
he's like, okay, okay.
Hey, appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the time, Coach.
Thanks for the time. Okay, I'm going to get back in and...
Really appreciate you doing this, Coach.
But you know it's coming.
God bless.
You know it's coming.
Like, are you thinking he's going to be like, you know what, hey, I'm glad you said that. You want to come over to my place for dinner? It's not coming.
I'll cook you a steak.
Hey, thanks, Coach, for doing this.
You should do it once. Just to see if anyone would catch it.
I make a point not to do it. Not that I'm not. I'm friendly when I... No. There's reasons to be friendly.
Do it and then, like, look at the camera like a Jim from The Office. Kind of a look. Hey, Coach, thanks for doing this.
Look at the camera.
And then just kind of give him a take.
Well... That is kind of a pet peeve.
Yeah. People are nice. It's the Midwest. People are nice.
You know what will make me literally just take my computer and smash it over the microphones in the studio tomorrow night? Is if we get the lead off, hey, Coach, thanks for doing this, followed by, can you talk about the player you just took? Then I will lose it.
Talk about?
If you tell the man to talk about, first of all, I'd like to point out, you're telling him to do something.
Yeah.
You're not even asking him a question.
After thanking him.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
If it's nice enough.
How about have a question ready? It's 1 a.m. You've had quite a bit of time to formulate one.
How about this question? Would you talk about?
No.
Would you talk about your first-round pick? That's a question.
And if I were a coach, a player, a GM, and I got that, I'd be like, no. Next question.
Now, bit of a pet peeve of yours, Sarin, and I totally understand why, but probably better to be on that side than what he got back in Philly, which is, hey, coach, I just framed you for murder, but before you deal with that.
Hey, this guy sucks. What'd you take this guy for? Not sure why he's in Boston all of a sudden.
He just got a new gig.
That pick is terrible.
He left the Globe and is now at the Inquirer.
Inquirer.
Oh, man.
This is
all right. Let's hear some Cooper Beebe. You know he's a KC kid.
He is.
Tremendous football player for the K-State Wildcats. Expected to go in the first couple of days of the draft. Probably not tomorrow night. K-State's Cooper Beebe has been pinching himself throughout the entire draft process.
It's definitely a surreal moment. I mean, like, you know, you dream of this, you know, this moment as a kid. And, you know, I think your entire life, you know, people try to tell you, oh, you know, only this certain percent ever make it. And just to see now that I'm, you know, a couple of days away from, you know, my name getting called, it's definitely an unreal moment. And, you know, people always ask, oh, like, where do you think you're going to go? And, you know, I tell them it really doesn't matter to me. I don't really care. I don't care what round. I just want an opportunity to go show what I can do. And, you know, I know there's going to be a team out there that wants me, that's going to pick me. And, you know, I'm going to go down there and do everything I can to make that team better. So definitely excited to, you know, see my dreams, you know, just a couple days away.
Awfully needy, huh? That's a joke, by the way, Ema. Yeah. What a great kid.
Yes.
Don't care when or where. Just can't wait to go down and help. And just all the reports are that he's fantastic and tremendous football player. So
seeing 73.
Sounds about right. Bottom two, lines, top of three, I'm thinking, for him, just based upon the value of the position, but going to be a good football player probably for 10 years in the league, barring injuries.
Primarily a guard, but can kick out and play some tackle.
Other NFL news, Bengals three-time Pro Bowl DN Trey Hendrickson, who you remember I tried to sign in Kansas City, but nobody listened.
Nope.
Instead, they went for Frank Clark.
The good news is he hasn't gone on to be very good.
No, it wasn't Frank Clark. When did they get him? I can't remember what year it was, but he was one of my free agent crushes. He wants a trade out of Cincinnati. He's due to make $15 million this year. He's looking for more long-term security. Cincinnati hadn't been willing to do it. He's under contract through 25. He wants a trade. How long is it before Joe Burrow's asking for a trade? There's no way one of the most inept franchises in history can be doing everything right, right? Isn't this the beginning of the end?
It could be.
The Brown family, let's get our hands on this. This has been going too good.
Yeah.
Let's start being miserly with the contracts.
Yeah, but they're 3-1 against Patrick Mahomes, so, you know, hang a flag. By the way, I have never seen, maybe it's because you look at a couple of videos and suddenly it's part of your For You type thing, but the algorithm. I've never seen the fan base of a team that has never won a title talk more crap than Bengals.
That's a fact, yeah.
It is unbelievable.
What will the Baltimore Ravens do that I am far too smart? I've done what they're doing, but now I'm far too smart to ever do what they are doing right now. I will never do this again because I've figured it out, and the Baltimore Ravens are going to do this. What do you think they're doing, Gabe? What are the Baltimore Ravens doing? I'm far too smart. I've done it, but I won't do it again. What do you think they're doing?
I know exactly where you're going.
They're going to sign Rashad Bateman to a 2-year extension. Why? Why? He has killed the late round and late price hopes of every fantasy football owner out there. You know what? This is the year for Bateman. First round pick. He was great at Minnesota. This is the year. I'm going to take Rashad Bateman. I did it again last year. Again last year. I read the crap. He had some big preseason games. This is it. I went in. Screw that guy. No chance.
They say.
They just gave 2 years to a guy who's going to suck for 2 years.
Yep. Fool me once, shame on you. Can't get fooled again.
If he's making more than $80, he's overpaid. Brutal.
It says the surprising move was made
8 days before they had to make a decision on whether to exercise Bateman's fifth-year option. Let me tell you the choice on that. No. But we don't want to lose him because eventually he's going to be good. So we're going to chase good money after the bad money.
It's not allowed, but GMs probably should play fantasy football.
They should.
They'd be better at it if they had to make.
I read that and I'm like, is this a joke? Is it April Fool's?
Yeah.
Who's Rashad Bateman? Ridiculous. Lions have agreed to giant extensions with two of their top stars, Amon-Ra St. Brown, their great wide receiver, 4 for $120 million. Their right tackle, Penei Sewell, signs for 4 for $112 million. So they get extensions, and the Bears have unveiled their nearly $5 billion proposal for their enclosed stadium. It'd be built right next door to Soldier Field on their lakefront area by their museums. They're asking for public funding to help make it happen. Plan calls for $3.2 billion for the new stadium, plus an additional $1.5 billion in infrastructure. Project would also include green space, open space. $5
billion.
Five bill.
There's some money to be made in the National Football League.
We'll take a break. We talked to Gabe DeArmond, the publisher of Power Mizzou. The Tigers have a new AD. They've been rocking and rolling in the transfer portal, and they have a giant football season in the rearview mirror with great big old expectations for another great season under Eli Drinkwitz. We talk about it with Gabe DeArmond next. Small world. Small world. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Hen House, 11721 Rowe Avenue, where they got you covered. If you want to get the grill going, fire up the smoker. Always great specials back at the Butcher Block. How about some steaks? USDA Choice Certified Hereford Beef, 12 ounces, just $12 each for those boneless ribeye steaks. And the pork baby back ribs sold in Cryovac, just $2.99 a pound. Get a couple of them. Throw one in the freezer. Get one in the smoker this weekend. It's all at Hen House. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest you. Let's talk some Mizzou athletics. It's not really just football, just basketball. Mizzou athletics. Gabe DeArmond, the publisher of PowerMizzou.com, joins us here in the program. Gabe, how are you, sir?
I'm good. What's going on, sir?
Well, Mizzou's got an AD, and, you know, it took a couple of months, which is kind of bizarre. We'll get into that in a minute. But as I recall, on the day that full squads reported at spring training, this was the top name on the board. So whether it took a little while or not, it does look like they got what would be the top guy for Mizzou fans to want, didn't they?
I mean, it definitely seemed like the most likely. I guess if you just put together a list of, hey, who's the best athletic director in the country, there probably would have been some other names, but Missouri probably wasn't hiring someone away from, you know, Alabama or something like that. So yeah, Laird Veach had, you know, he worked here back when I was in school, and then was around Columbia for quite a while. You know, he's had 5 years now at Memphis, kind of ready to take that next step, and it was just one of the very logical names early on that you thought, hey, he's got ties here, he's ready for a, I don't even know if we call it Power 5 job anymore, but whatever that level is, he's ready for that. And yeah, I think you know, people speak highly of him. And like I've always said, though, if your football coach and your basketball coach are winning games, nobody cares who your AD is. Nobody talks about it. They only talk about it when things aren't going well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And let's back up. Let me start here first. It's been a couple of months. Do we have any more details about why the abrupt departure of Desiree Reed-Francois?
I mean, it kind of depends on who you believe, I guess. I would be comfortable saying that there was tension between her and other people in positions of power at the university. You know, who is to blame for that? Exactly what is at the root of it, or which specific incidents led to it? I'm not sure. You'd hear a bunch of different things, and I wouldn't really be comfortable speculating which ones are true and which aren't. But I would say, and look, this was obvious today. I mean, nobody looks at the situation Missouri's in an athletic department and the situation Arizona's in and says Arizona's a better job. I mean, nobody thinks that. So it was pretty obvious that there were other things going on. Whether that matters at this point, and you know, I asked Moon Choi, the university president, last week, and said, you know, this is your fourth AD in 9 years. Does Missouri need to look at things that it's doing that need to be different in these processes? And he didn't really answer it. He said, we always try to learn, and then, you know, said a bunch of words, as administrators do, that didn't really mean a whole lot.
Yeah, a word salad, we like to call it,
exactly.
when it comes out. Yeah, I mean, like, it you know, okay, so he didn't say it. Do you think that they've taken it as, okay, we've got to change some things?
I don't know. It'll be interesting, right? And I'm not sure we'll know that. They might have taken it as we need to change some things. They also might have taken it as, hey, we won and we were right. Our football coach that we hired last time is doing really well. We've got another AD in here. You know, maybe. And look, I'll even listen to that argument. Maybe the way they've been doing things has been okay. You know, at least the last 2 or 3 years. I would not say so much. You know, there were a lot of lowlights between 2014 and about 2022. But the last couple of years, things seem to have been going better. And, hey, if Laird's good, you know, then I think all that will go in the past and nobody will really worry about it. Now, if things take a turn here and don't go as well, then it might be a little more important in a couple years. Hey, what happened with Desiree and why did that break up?
Does Laird Veach strike you as a guy that, you know, this is going to be a comfortable fit?
I would think so. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know him. Friday, well, I think they'll have a press conference on Friday, will be the first time I've, at least that I remember talking to him. I may have met him in passing, but you know, like I said, I've had some people at different schools reach out and say good things about him. Not that I think you ever probably have people reach out and say, boy, they really blew that one. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. But again, he's got familiarity here. I think he probably knows through his time under Mike Alden and in Columbia, and he knows enough people around here to probably have an understanding of the dynamics of the way things can sometimes work around here, which it probably coming from UNLV without any real ties here, Desiree probably didn't have. And I think it's, you know, Drinkwitz said earlier this spring, he said there were some things I had to learn about what's different about this job than the previous places I was at. Like, you can't just take everything that works at one place and assume it's going to work everywhere. There are things about every place that are unique, and I think Laird probably has some sense of that, having been here before.
Yeah, and I think and that's very mature of Eli Drinkwitz to say, and I think if you've been around a lot, you probably learn that, and you expect that everywhere you go, right? Like, I think that's I'll bet he's ready for that and ready to embrace it, and I give Eli Drinkwitz a lot of credit for, you know, recognizing it, admitting it, and being willing to talk about it. Says he's not afraid of it. He's grown from it. He's a better coach because of it. That's interesting. I hadn't heard those comments from him. I listen, the one thing he is walking into, though, with that end zone project getting ready to go, like, there doesn't seem to be a shortage of dollars, right? He's been a good fundraiser, or at least worked well with the FedEx family. I forget what they're called, but that's the major booster there at Memphis, and he had a lot of things going down there. He should have plenty of support from money guys, right?
I would think so, and look, the money is flowing pretty well here. Missouri already got a, you know, they got 20% of that end zone thing funded with a $62 million donation a couple months ago, 52 of it going to that project. Missouri's NIL, if you talk to anybody in this business, is, I would say, top 10 to 15 in the country as far as how they've done since NIL became legal. They, you know, rewrote a state law, which basically other states are now doing. So it's been interesting, and I give Eli a lot of credit for this, and I think Desiree probably deserves some of the credit too, but you know, people have said for a long time that, hey, there's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of Missouri alums that could do this, but it's never really happened. Like, everybody hasn't gotten on the same page. And in the last couple of years, they seem to have done that. It is obviously paying off on the recruiting trail. I mean, I don't want to take all credit away from Eli Drinkwitz and Dennis Gates with what he's done in the portal. You still have to have a program and a personality and all that. Still matters, but let's be honest, the money matters a lot too, and we can finally say that part out loud in the last couple of years.
Well, and I think money guys want to know that they're giving it to something that's going to be positive. Like, I heard a lot of the KU people say when they were talking years ago, a couple ADs ago, about building a new stadium or renovating the stadium, and they're like, listen, we got to win something. Like, I'm all for giving to my university, but you got to prove that the football program is going to win. Why am I going to build a fancy place for a team that's not going to win? Lance Leipold gets there. He starts winning something. People want to give some money. I mean, that's they're winning, right? They got it right with Eli Drinkwitz. Yeah. You know, rich guys want to know they're going to get a return on their investment. By all accounts now, all three of our locals, but certainly in Missouri as well, they're going to win. And so money guys want to be a part of something that's winning.
Yeah, it's interesting. Really here, I feel like the money came before the winning. I mean, Eli was a 500 coach through 3 years. And look, the money was there pretty quick. And they, you know, there was already the South End Zone project. And the NIL stuff happened before it had been proven on the field. And then he went out and proved it on the field. And I'd say,
that's
I mean,
point.
This coming football season is, I've said this a number of times, if he goes to the college football playoffs, if let's say Mizzou hosts one of those first-round games, right, like they're the 7-8 seed, and they host a playoff game, he can literally stand at midfield at kickoff and say, I hate all of you, now write me a check. And they will do it, right? That's how big this next football season could be. I don't think he will say that, by the way.
Well, I wrote the $60 million check for the stadium stuff.
So, yeah.
By the way,
I've always heard radio pays really well, Curtis. So well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was written in crayon, but it worked.
Do we know who it is that wrote that check?
No. I mean, I've heard. I think I know. But I figure if he wanted it known, he would not have done it anonymously.
Well, we know it's a he.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that far.
Just eliminated half the population.
Yeah, we've narrowed it down. Sorry. There we
Dan,
go.
Let me go, Dan. Yeah. Let me use the proper pronoun.
Gabe DeArmond is with us from Power Mizzou. What will be a successful tenure for Laird Veach? Well, how would you mark success?
Fairly regular, you know, top 25 football and basketball programs. I think it's telling. I just got the thumbnail of the contract, the memorandum of understanding, a couple hours ago, and I posted it. He has bonuses in his contract available for two things: football and men's basketball. That's what they're all judged on. We all know it. Everything else is well and good. A lot of people put a lot of time into it. But if football and basketball are, you know, if Eli can sustain, he doesn't have to win 11 every year, but if he can kind of get what Gary Tinkle had going, which is, hey, you're going to win 8 pretty much every year, and then sometimes you're going to win 10 or 11 or 12, and then Dennis can get it back to, you know, Mike Anderson had it there for a little bit, Quinn did, Norm did, where more often than not you're playing in the NCAA tournament, I think that's success.
What do you think? What kind of ground does Dennis Gates start on?
I mean, look, he can't go 0-19 again next year, right? I think we all know that. You get maybe one of those. You're probably not going to be forgiven another one. But if he shows some improvement, you know, I don't think it's like make the tournament or Dennis is out next year. I think it would take pretty drastic failure again next year for next year to be the last year.
Yeah. But you know, both guys, and this was true for – did she hire Dennis Gates? It's been moving so fast.
Desiree
yes.
hired
yeah, she did.
She did not hire Drinkwitz. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Drinkwitz just usurped the power of the AD. With the kind of season he had last year, he's going to have to give back a couple. But Gates needs a little it needs some traction. How confident are we in the NIL work? There's a lot of, again, a lot of motion again. Looks like a lot of progress, right? The names look pretty good. Are we confident that this team is going to be, you know, one that's at least back towards thinking about getting to the NCAA tournament?
I mean, they'll be significantly better simply because I don't know how they could not be. I mean, I said a number of times last year, like, wasn't a good roster, but that season, they should not have been as bad as they were. It was like a lack of talent and then 87 other things. It all went poorly. So that's not going to happen. But look, I think Mark Mitchell, most people have him as probably one of the top 15 to 20 transfers available. I saw in a release today, Marquez Warwick, who's coming from Northern Kentucky, is apparently the leading returning scorer in all of college basketball for next year, which I did not know. Tony Perkins was the second team, all Big Ten guard. They've got this, you know, highly touted recruiting class led by Honor Boateng. So, yeah, I think because of the level of talent, especially in the freshman class, even if you're not a tournament team, like if you just show, hey, if you go out and win 18 games or whatever, which honestly is not, that's not a high bar, in my opinion, for a team at this level. You go 18 and 15 or something, it's not great. Nobody's going to be thrilled about it, but it's clearly going to save his job and give you some hope that, I mean, look, year one was far better than we expected. Year two was far worse. Now we start to find out in year three which one is more indicative of who he is.
Staying on basketball, but going back to I forgot the guy, Laird Veach's name, job for just a second. I'm always looking up like stats and histories of things. And one of the things I discovered after this NCAA tournament was that since 2017, that's seven NCAA tournaments, or eight, 15 schools have either made their first Final Four appearance ever or their first in more than 30 years. Doesn't that have to be more of a priority than it has been with those kind of numbers? Is that more pressure on Veach to get this team to a Final Four? You mentioned consistent winning, you know, basketball and football teams, but the Final Four should be on that list too, should it not?
I mean, I'm the outlier here because I've always said this. Like, the tournament's so random. I mean, yes, it is a little – it's not great that Missouri's like third on the list of teams that – the number of tournament appearances without ever having gotten there, right? But to me, hey, go – you know, if you're winning 25 games every year and you're in the tournament every year, you're probably eventually going to get there. Like, I can't judge you on
– so let's do it.
You failed to do something literally everyone else at this school ever has failed to do, right? I mean, I remember back in, you know, probably mid-2000s, friends of mine who were KU fans, yeah, I know Self wins 30 games every year and he wins the Big 12 every year and that's awesome, but can't win the title. Well, if you just are a one or a two seed every single year, eventually you're probably going to get a break and some team's going to choke at the free throw line. You're going to get it done, right? And so you just keep putting yourself in position. Eventually you get there. But I've never judged a college basketball coach on four games in March.
I guess listen, and it's not my school or not my program, so who the hell cares what some Syracuse grad thinks? It would piss me off to have – I watched the KU-MU arguments, and I think the fan bases are very comparable. I think they're both great fan bases, and I think it sucks that there's this easy trump card that KU fans get to go, yeah, no Final Four, right? But to your point, again, I'm not a Mizzou – it doesn't really seem to bother Missouri fans.
Well, no, I mean, Missouri basketball fans, trust me, they love to get there. But what are you going to do about it? I mean, either they will eventually or they won't. I'm just saying, I don't make hirings or firings based on that. I make hirings or firings based on what happens in the 32 games leading up to it. Yeah, they'd love to get there, and, you know, that's the goal, right? But to get there, you have to put yourself in position. And, you know, that's honestly been Missouri's problem in the last 15. And now Norm, it was a different deal. Norm had teams that were good enough, and Norm put so much stress on winning the Big 8 and winning the Big 8 tournament that he had a lot of teams run out of gas. Quinn was the opposite. Quinn was Quinn underachieved during the regular season most of his time at Missouri, but then he'd get hot at the right time and win a game more than he probably should have. And really, since the Norfolk game, you can't talk about climbing the mountain until you can get up off the ground, right? And Missouri hadn't done that until Dennis Gates' first season. So, Final Four is the goal, but there's a couple steps between here and there.
Yeah, the question would be, which AD would have more pressure? The AD taking over for a school that routinely goes to the Final Four, keeping that thing going, or the AD of a team who's never been there to be the first?
Yeah, I'd give you a better answer. The AD that doesn't have a good football program. I mean, because that's the honest truth.
That helps.
I mean, we can talk about everything we want, but you're good at football. The rest of it,
that's a great point.
Even men's basketball doesn't.
You make a great point. KU's been winning lots in basketball, and the ADs have been coming and going. And the only reason it looks like it might be stable now is because they got it right with Lance Leipold. So I think you make a great point, Gabe. The football is, I get it, it's more important. I guess for me, if I were one of those big money guys, and it sounds like there is the NIL money's there, so you got the money back, and they're saying, listen, we'll buy the players. I guess one of my edicts would be like, listen, if it doesn't work with Gates when you get ready to go, whatever it takes. Like, call Dan Hurley.
I think that's true everywhere. Like, I was having this conversation earlier today with a friend of mine. Like, I don't care where you are. You know, you're given $15 million for a football team, right? Like, Ole Miss and Missouri are the teams that everybody looked at that says, well, hey, they're not powers, but they're doing this NIL thing really well. And they both had really good seasons. Both are kind of probably preseason top 10, might make a playoff, and it's working really well for them right now. Well, there's going to come a time where those teams slide back a little bit, right? Or even if you're Ohio State and you're going, okay, I gave $15 million. Cool, we're 12-1. We lost in the semifinals. We were doing that before, and I didn't have to give $12 million. So I think there is a point where where the people giving this money kind of go, well, we're giving all this money, but it hasn't really changed anything. What are we doing?
Yeah, no, again, that comes back to the rich guys. Hey, they want to be a part of winning, and they'll pay a lot for winning, but they want results.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're talking right now with Gabe DeArmond. Time for our Final Four here with Gabe. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you need to see a doctor right away, urgent care is available. That's right. Orthopedic care can be seen. You can be seen right away, whether you have an injury in everyday life or playing sports. If an orthopedic injury occurs, walk right in at 435 and all in Overland Park, weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. I'll start you with this. How long is Laird Veach the AD?
Shoot. I mean, he's got a five-year contract. He'll at least get you a second contract, more than 5 years.
Okay, because that would be obviously a big step. So confidence there. How many are – now let's go with this. Which one of the Missouri Tigers in this year's draft will be the best pro?
I got to go with Darius Robinson. I think he's the first guy taken. I think he's the most pro ready. He's the guy I'd pick.
Okay. The Chiefs draft who with their first pick?
I'm one of these guys that does a whole bunch of mock drafts. I listen to you and Shadia and Eager do all your mock drafts. I don't know. I want them to trade up and get an offensive tackle, but they probably won't. They'll probably take, freaking Harrison Nevis at 32.
I love it. Fantastic. All right, and finally, how long is Coach Pinkel? We actually saw some of his family here earlier. I've got Kerry Pinkel on my mind. How long is Eli Drinkwitz at Mizzou as the head coach?
Boy, this answer's so different than it was 2 years ago when you had me on. How's this? As long as
by the way, for the record, Gabe has been on in the last 2 years. Just 2 years
ago
was very different, yes.
But, no, I mean, seriously, at this point, as long as he wants to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how long that is, but, he's got everything he needs here, I think, without the pressure. Like, the pressure here isn't what it is at a place like Florida or Texas or Ohio State, but they're on that level right now going into this season. So I don't know, like Veach, more than 5 years.
Yeah, you mentioned Missouri and Ole Miss. I don't know that many schools benefited more from the expanded playoffs than schools like Missouri and Ole Miss, because you're right. You don't have to deal with the crap at Alabama, but you can still get into the same playoffs. That's a great spot to be in. Job got a lot better when they expanded it. Gabe, you're the man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. I look forward to talking to you on down the road.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Who was the first Big Eight quarterback to start a Super Bowl?
Ooh, wow.
By the way, I'm going up to the names that I can't. I'm up
there's
to,
not many, is there?
I'm up to Super Bowl 29, and I haven't found another quarterback from a current big or from a Big Eight school.
So it was before that.
I'm going up. I know who it is, but I haven't seen one from the time that person won, and I've been going.
Yeah, so but now I know it's before 29.
Oh yeah. Yep. Certainly.
Big Eight, so not Jim McMahon and
right.
The Bears. You know, being a BYU guy. God, I love this question. Want to spend more time on it. Can you say it? And I go, nah, keep guessing.
It was Vince Ferragamo of Nebraska, who played for the Rams in Super Bowl 14. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
All right. I want to guess. I don't know. I love that. I want to thank everybody here at Hen House. We had a great time here today, as we always do. Don't forget, you can catch all the specials we've been talking about all day at henhouse.com. You can get signed up for an email, one email each week. You don't get peppered with it. That's the beauty of it. You get the one email, and you got all the specials like on the USDA Choice Certified Herford Beef Boneless Ribeye Steaks, 12 ounces, just $12. The pork baby back ribs sold in Cryovac, just $2.99. Great seafood selection back there. And, of course, stock up for the weekend over at Harry's Brewery. It's where I stock up with all the Corona Premieres, all the Modelo Oros. It's right here at your neighborhood Hen House. Find the location nearest you at henhouse.com.